Hello, I'm Tara, and we are continuing our discussion with services management. So over and above, just the domestic service industry and the global service industry, let's first look at just services and the various classifications and characteristics of services. So for example, in the previous chapter, we had discussed how it is something which is intangible, versus a good, you cannot transfer it to someone else. For example, if I am, getting a service on a banking transaction on the phone, I can't transfer that to someone else. It's a service received by me. If I have a query, if I have a complaint ticket, or, whatever it may be. So also, it is something which cannot be, put in an inventory. So let's look at some of the other characteristics. But before that, while we know how preoccupied the world is with customer service excellence, customer satisfaction scores, ratings, etc., let's also understand that all of these things are not simply theoretical. Customer service experience and excellence is something which is very, very vital to the survival of a company and an industry. And unless it has the absolute involvement of the top management and commitment from the top management and the policy makers, it's not going to deliver in a way which is the which is satisfactory and excellent as it should be. So, for example, quoting Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, and of course, as we know, the mammoth presence that Amazon has the world over. He talks about thinking of customers as guests that you would invite into your home. Now, when you invite someone into your home for a dinner or for any other event, you know the kind of sensitivity and personalization you give to this person's needs. You're on your toes, and typically when you've invited someone over, you're not the one who's really looking to enjoy. You're more preoccupied by ensuring that your guest leaves feeling nurtured, feeling like they really had a great time and you really looked after them, So as per Jeff Bezos' words, he thinks of customer service or customers as guests into his own home and himself as a host. And then you think about how one responds. So it's very important to have this top management involvement, right from in terms of policies, in terms of setting down standards, policies on standard operating procedures, your SOPs, investment in skill upgradation, innovation, listening to the customer, visibility. Because very often the visibility is only at the local customer, at the grassroots customer service executive point of interaction. But a lot of CEOs, like, for example, the CEOs of several airlines, ensure that at various times they are visibly seen to interact with customers. And that's not just something for show, that is to show that we want to understand what the grassroots reality is. And that makes a world of a difference. So best-in-class companies, we could call excellent service providers are companies like the McKinsey & Company, Accenture, Deloitte, Pricewaterhouse, Wipro, Infosys, TCS, you have your waste management services, Inc., you have Sodexo. How many of you are familiar with using Sodexo coupons and Sodexo passes when it comes to, going and getting, buying your groceries, or, as part of your package, which is given to you by companies at various points of time. So there are so many categorizations of your service providers, whether it's a Bharti Airtel, whether it's a Netflix, whether it's an Amazon Prime. So services are across. And now let's also look at some of the specific characteristics of services. So the classification and the characteristics involve a lot of critical factors like intangibility, like inseparability of customer and the service provider, but also these become very important. And to cite a few studies, for example, organizations like Salesforce conduct a lot of studies on customer satisfaction. So I had already mentioned in the past how it takes that much more investment time and investment to bring in new customers versus retaining an existing customer. Likewise, you know, there's another study by InvestP, which shows that if a customer has a positive experience, then 90% of the time, or 90% of responding customers to surveys, you know, said that if they have a positive customer service experience, then they are more than happy to purchase another item from the service provider, which they may not have initially thought of. Also very interesting, you know, today is the world of social media. We don't need to think beyond that when we talk about feedback. Have you seen how corporates get lashed out at and, you know, completely lose their reputation based on one negative feedback? So studies have actually shown that one negative feedback requires more than 12 positive feedbacks or testimonials to be forgotten or to be balanced out. So look at, if you just work on ensuring that one negative feedback does not happen proactively, then the effort which is going into bringing in 12 positive testimonials, can be saved. So we are not talking only theoretical. We are talking at an absolute applicable level, which leads to, your bottom line growth, which leads to your company being better than competitors, because it is all about differentiation. Now, very recently, without naming the airline, Harsha Bhogle, put a tweet of regarding a certain airline where he was very, very upset with, the delays there. And today, if you just go on Twitter, if you just, look at the comments out there, one single comment can make or break a company or her brand. David Warner, and right now is IPL season, so the whole world is extra preoccupied with cricket and cricketers. Other than the fact that India is a country, for us, it's a passion, one of the biggest passions for us. So we are in any case preoccupied by cricket. And just around the time when Harsha Bhogle, 2-3 days back, put his negative comment about an airline, you have David Rohn, who's absolutely blasted another airline, for their mismanagement and, I'll get into more details of, what the specific issue was. But today, every company has dedicated teams who are looking at their social media management, who are looking at these aspects of service management, customer satisfaction, which are a very, very important characteristic of services, which is a very important characteristic of the whole process of service management. A few days back, for example, a few years ago, there was an issue with one of the international beer brands, Bud Light, and they had a certain marketing campaign which did not ring well with, people of a conservative mindset, where they may have used someone from the, trans community to promote one of their products. Now, regardless of opinion, my opinion or political views and all of that, was it something which was reported about in the traditional mainstream media? No. The entire backlash and the loss of market share for them and the bottom line impact for them, an absolute decimation of their market position, happened because of a backlash on social media. So your aspect of element of technology, element of social media management, and the fact that this is about a service which is made, so it is not a good which can be returned and someone says, oh, I'm sorry, you received a defective good and here we are replacing it. it's done, the service is done and gone and cannot be returned. And it has made someone feel bad. And now it's going to take a lot of investment, a lot of commitment to undo that. So, for example, Bud Light went through massive, you know, did a massive rehaul. They actually fired the, you know, a lot of people, a lot of employees, senior employees who were behind that campaign for not, you know, reading the, you know, emotions of the target market well. Lot of revamping was done in terms of launching new marketing campaigns, but despite several years having passed, they've never recovered because that psychological, oh God, you made me feel really bad. You know, I'm your target market. My thoughts are very different, you know, on these issues, and I'm not in a forgiving mood. So forget about this balance of the KPMG study, which I was mentioning, of one negative review being balanced out by 12 positive reviews. Here, all elements of 1 and 12 are out of the window. And the entire movement in terms of this anti-Bud Light movement, the entire movement can pretty much be attributed to social media fervor. And these are the things which have become extremely critical. To cite a personal example, there's a fashion delivery brand, and I had ordered something through them. You know, these aggregators where, you know, from one site you can order all your, you know, personal care in terms of your skin care, your shampoos, your beauty products, you know. And I used that site very often, and I had ordered certain products from them. Now, what I hadn't realized is that in a certain part of the city in Mumbai, they had a tie-up with a delivery partner who was awful, absolutely awful. I have no idea why they would be using them, you know, their policy, whatever. I didn't know that, and I ordered, and next thing I know, I'm seeing updates on the, you know, tracking service that the delivery partner tried to deliver. I was not there. I didn't pick up my phone, all of which was wrong, which were lies, which were updates, which were lies. And clearly here was a delivery partner who was not interested in delivering for whatever reason and was just lying out there. Now, I tried to reach out to the delivery partner. You know, he hung up, blocked my number, all of that. Then I went online to check you know, the reviews, and I mean, this delivery partner and their tie up with this, you know, fashion online retailer, beauty online retailer, the reviews were murderous, you know, like everyone had a similar story of, you know, products being lost, never being able to reach out to the delivery partner. The when escalating to the beauty brand, only getting a response, we are resolving and nothing happening. And keep in mind that this is not, you know, a lot of the times the couriers, and including my courier, was worth a couple of thousand rupees. So, you know, you are completely frustrated, there is your money involved. And, you know, out of complete frustration, what I ended up doing is that I put a post about it on my Instagram and said, has anyone else had a negative experience with XYZ brand? And I'm completely frustrated, and I'm not even someone who's an influencer. So I have a couple of hundred followers at best. It's not like I'm a big influencer who has thousands, lakhs and millions of followers. And I just, in frustration, put this post and tagged this beauty brand. And within an hour, I was contacted. My delivery happened. I received my products. Closure of issue. And they requested me to delete the post, which I did once the resolution was done. But as I was observing from the Google reviews, I think I was the only one whose products were delivered. The others just kept on crying and nothing happened. Crying and complaining and nothing happened. So, you see, that is the magnitude of this. And again, once again, I'm stressing, you know, an influencer, when I'm mentioning a Harsha Bhogle or I'm mentioning David Warren, these are influencers, okay? They have a sizable following. So they put up something, there are crazy number of people who are going to see it immediately and retweet it and what have you. But for someone who doesn't have a massive following, today, tagging someone, there's someone keeping track of all these things. Someone, like, even if someone has like 10 followers and they tag, or 5 followers and they tag, the entity see. To give you an example, the BMC, you know. So recently, you know, it's not even a matter of a couple of hundred, even if someone who is creating an account for the purpose of, you know, just putting a post out of desperation to get something serviced. So very recently, someone who had an issue with probably some issue which at some stage did involve involvement of getting the attention of the authorities, whether it's the municipal authorities or the, law keeping authorities. And this person went and put up his issue on Twitter, and he tagged, of course, these, government organizations. And he also went and tagged all the newspapers, you know, your Midday, your Times of India, all of those who have very active handles. And this person had created the account, you know, with like 0 followers just to be able to post this. And it got immediate attention. These get picked up by the press. They immediately get reported. He got immediate attention and his issue got resolved. During the pandemic, if you remember, I don't know how many of you did follow, but Mumbai police and BMC were extremely active on social media, Twitter during the pandemic, in terms of, you know, because there was so much confusion, there was so much misinformation, and they had very efficient, dedicated teams who were ensuring that queries are getting resolved, direction is being given, resolution is being, resolutions are being worked on. So it is not simply a private sector, initiative. These characteristics are inherent across segments. And this is what differentiates one entity from another. Okay. So when I choose to stay at, whether I choose to stay at a Taj or an Oberoi or a Marriott, assuming they're all in the same, budget bracket, which, practically more or less they are, a lot of my decisions, budget aside, is going to be based on how they have made me feel. Some people are, we always stay at the Trident, no questions asked, we are there. Some people are diehard Taj Hotel fans. Some people are, we just love the Marriott app, which is, so state-of-the-art and helps us so much. So these loyalties come based on that differentiation. Why do you prefer one to another? Okay, so differentiation becomes extremely important. Now, for example, when you talk about Amazon, okay, the retailer, not the Prime Video, etc., but the, your online purchasing. Now, I subscribe to the Amazon Prime, where you have to pay a certain annual fee for, getting a priority delivery or, various other features. And initially, no one wants to pay that additional fee and you just want to go basic. But now, practically like the most tiny basic things are coming from there. But having said that, there's also for certain very day-to-day objects, there is also a very tough competitor in terms of your Blinkit or your Swiggy Instamart. And very often you're like, oh, I need it in 10 minutes. I can't wait till tomorrow. And, you do a Blinkit or you do a Swiggy Instamart and it's right there. So what is differentiating? How are you being differentiated versus your competitors? And we will see in a lot of examples where it is the differentiation why there is, despite money, despite the cost involved, there is a preference towards one service provider versus the other, and people are willing to pay more and they're fine with that, So continuing with this discussion of service, it is really something which is at the very, very psychological basic level. Where are you adding value to the receiving customer? How can you come in, as I was saying, Jeff Bezos' words, that he thinks of it as customers are his guests. How are you coming in or adding value to him where the perceived satisfaction is something which is what you desire? You retain his loyalty. You make him feel good. And also you keep listening to him. Retaining his loyalty is not a finite concept. It's something which is ongoing. So you will have to keep ensuring that, oh, are his preferences changing? Is he looking for something different now? Then I have to deliver that, because otherwise someone else will come and deliver that. So for example, you have Flipkart, you have Amazon, you have eBay, you have so many platforms. But why does one choose one versus another? Or for example, let's just talk about, your online entertainment, media and entertainment, which is a big service industry. You have Netflix, you have Amazon Prime, you have Hotstar, you have Z5, you have Eros Now, you have Amazon Mini, you have Apple TV, you have Alt Balaji, you have, so many, you have MX Player, you have like so many. Which one does one pick? Do you come across people who have subscriptions to all of them? No. Typically, you will find people have subscriptions to maybe three of them. How are they selecting those? Or maybe two of them or one of them. How are they selecting those? It is happening based on this differentiation which is there of one versus the other. And it's not simply a matter of whose subscription cost is higher and whose subscription cost is lower. So that is what we mean by, excellent service, and service which is facilitating, value add to a person, whether it is by way of IT, whether it's by way of entertainment, whether it's by way of grooming, whether it's, by way of medical healthcare, by way of, travel help, all of these aspects. This is what service is. So services impact every day of a life, right? From electricity supply to maintenance of a product. So for example, I have a refrigerator. Now, I bought the refrigerator. I'm happy with the customer service who came and delivered it and installed it. But I'm also going to require maintenance. I'm also going to require repairs of that. The gas is leaking, it's not cooling enough, whatever it is. Now, we have, for example, Godrej consumer products. Now, Godrej appliances. So for the longest time, Godrej refrigerators have had a reputation of being very, very good with post-sales service, because one very big aspect of customer service is post-sales, because a lot of entities give you a good service till the sale is closed. But once the money is in and the sale is closed, what then? You have to maintain it as well, right? Every time there is a defect or there is an issue, you're not going to go and buy a new product. So you need servicing. So it could be post-sale service. It could be elements of entertainment. It could be elements of education, training. It could be another very important aspect of services is that today it is something which can be online and offline. Now, of course, there are even new age concepts of augmented reality or AR, virtual reality or VR, artificial intelligence, etc., also which are coming into the picture. So it's not only offline, online, but also in all of these modes. But it is something which is helping a need, fulfilling a need that the customer has. And it doesn't necessarily have to be one time. It could be something which is on an ongoing basis. So when you're making a commitment to a service that you are buying or subscribing to, you are making a commitment not just to it one time, you're also thinking, is this something which is going to, is it somewhere where I'm going to be treated well over a period of time? So for example, there are banks, especially in the private sector, there are reputational issues where there are certain banks where people say, oh my God, I can't open an account there. Yes, they have, like their charges are lesser. Yes, they have, better FD rates than the others, but their service is horrible. I'm going to just be frustrated with it. And when you open a bank account, you typically don't open it for a short term. You have your bank account for 20, 30, your entire lifetime. So it's a long-term commitment. So people, say, no, I don't want this service from someone who's going to, like, for a little lesser cost, maybe is going to, frustrate me so much over a period of time. I'd much rather pay more and go somewhere where there's a better service. Likewise, for example, you have transportation. There are people who have loyalties. I prefer Uber, I prefer Ola. So there are times when I have heard, people say, well, you know, one vendor, oh my God, you know, during peak times, even if you're willing to pay a surcharge, you just don't get availability. So I prefer to use the other vendor because with that other vendor, at least the cab turns up. They don't cancel on you. They turn up. I know they may charge more, but I need that transport. So loyalties, etc., depend on this requirement which is being fulfilled by the service provider, whatever the aspect of that service may be. For example, you could have, when we have, not all of us are CAs, right? So when we have tax filing season, we go use the services of a CA, right? Please file my taxes for me. And he charges us a service fee. So it could be in the area of accounting, it could be education, postal service, something as simple as laundry. And laundry could be your local washer guy below your building. Now, it's not just about getting your washing done. You want your washing done by someone who's not going to, damage your clothes, or by someone who is not going to go and sell your expensive clothes elsewhere and say, I lost them, which happens, right? So it could be across elements of your life, small and big. And all of these elements have various characteristics, as we'll see, which happen around services, whether it's a designer, whether it's an electrician, whether it's a plumber, whether it's an engineer, whether it's a graphic designer. So many elements come in when it comes to services. Now, these are some of the integral characteristics of services. So here we have four of these, but typically people think of these in terms of the five I's. Five I's, the letter I. What are those? Intangibility, we've already been talking about. Then there is inseparability. You cannot separate the service from the customer. You cannot separate the service from the staff who's providing it. So you cannot separate the way you can separate a physical good and me. You cannot separate my healthcare that I'm receiving from me. So there is inseparability. There is also inventory. You don't really need to maintain an inventory out here. You don't need a warehouse where you go and stock your goods. It's a service which is provided and gone, it's irreversible. So you cannot, reverse it. Once I have received the service, I may or may not like it, but I got my clothes washed. I may or may not like how he has washed my clothes, or he may have damaged it, but I cannot return this service of the clothes washing, which has happened. So you cannot, it's irreversible, you cannot return it, okay? Then there is also inconsistency. Inconsistency is that no two services will be alike. They'll never be identical. You're having a telephone, conversation with your banking, credit card, customer sales executive. They may both, you may be, calling them twice or thrice, or it may be two different people calling the same person about the same issue. They may very well get resolved, but they will never be resolved in an identical cut paste copy, 100% identical manner, right? So there is this inconsistency which is there between one service which is provided and another. So these are some of the characteristics. Now, when you receive a physical good, okay, whether it's a watch, whether it's a shoe model, whether it's a shoe, whether it's an item of clothing, there is a lot of absolute precision standardization. But that is not when it comes to service. Standardization, yes, hence you need SOPs. Hence you need a laid down process flow. Hence you need a quality control. But despite all of that, you will never get 100% cut paste between one service experience and another service experience. Now, other than this, some of the other elements of service which become very important integral to service is that see, with a product, I know what are the elements in it. So somewhere that makes pricing easier. But how do I price service? So let's say when you go to a CA and you say, I want to hire your services for filing my taxes or for, you know, auditing my books. And he says, okay, but, you know, I charge X amount annually or I charge quarterly or whatever it is. And how do you say whether it is worth what he's providing or not? You're not measuring it by weight. You're not measuring it by any other form. So services are perception based. The pricing of services is perception based. Hence, a person can quote anything. So two CAs with exactly the same qualifications with offices next door to each other who are efficiently filing your returns every year may both choose to, you know, give you a different quotation for their charges. And it is a matter of how much they value themselves and are you willing to perceive their value similarly. So actors, when actors are acting for a part, there are so many times you read in the news, you know, XYZ actor opted out because they were asking for too much. How do you quantify that? They are asking for that service of providing these acting services. They have a value of their perceived contribution. They are pricing based on that. Someone else with equal or, you know, more number of years and even in terms of box office success of similar nature or more may choose to price less for whatever reasons best known to them. So pricing when it comes to services becomes difficult, yet of course there are mechanisms, and when we come to the specific dedicated chapter on pricing, we will see how there are various kinds of pricings, premium pricing, price skimming, bundle pricing, etc., etc. So the various different models which go into pricing of services, which we are going to touch on in a lot more detail. So there are, as when it comes to services, as I'm saying, that, you know, they are always, the customer services depend on employee and customer actions. And the quality is, again, a matter of perception. And, there is, okay, I intend to give you a good service and you receive a good service, but how do you measure whether what you plan to give, what was delivered is exactly what, you know, is measured in terms of envisaging and delivering. With a product, you know, this was your expected outcome delivery. Either it has met that or not. And if it has not, then what are the aspects where the product is lacking? But in a service, it's a little unclear how the delivery is vis-a-vis what you plan. So I'm a customer service executive and I plan to solve it for you. And I have solved it for you. But, you know, in terms of there could be dynamics and there could be changes and variations in what I was planning to do and how I delivered it versus what the customer receives or perceives to have received.